That was the Melbourne bounce. Sue really loved it. She was bouncing around the room.
I was leaving the room.
something different. But, it's a song about Melbourne, and we're going to, of course, talk about Melbourne, because Melbourne is bouncing along, going from strength to strength, certainly in the business events sector. And it's just had a record year for business events as the city continues to further increase its hotel capacity, which, of course, is a major driver of these large conventions and exhibitions that occur on the banks of the Yarra here. Melbourne Convention Bureau CEO Karen Bollinger says the Bureau delivered a record-breaking $396 million contribution into the Victorian visitor economy. And I spoke to her earlier. Well, Karen Bollinger, welcome back to Travel Writers Radio. You were our first guest nearly 5 years ago, and here you are starting off 2019 with us. You've had a record year.
Yes, we have, and I can't believe it's 5 years ago, Graham. Well, so congratulations to you guys.
Well, thank you. 5 years in March, actually.
Wow.
So, yeah, we've had an interesting period. But Melbourne is obviously doing really well. In what I hear anecdotally around the traps, and I get it to a few other states, that it was a reasonably tough year last year, but if you fought hard for the business, you could win it.
Well, I think, this game is a long game. It's not a short game by no means. Mm. And you have to be looking to your future continuously. And so for us, we did absolutely have a record year. It's been the best, I think, we've ever delivered for the city and state, nearly $400 million worth of economic contribution to the state. And I think a lot of that is around the work that we've done in the past, setting up, identifying where the opportunities are. And, you know, with a lead time of 6 to 9 years, it's a pretty long time. So, we've been focused on that. And I guess you have to work hard and think strategically and get what you need out of that.
Yeah, obviously you do, but you've clearly done very well. Now, that number you said, nearly 400 million, you don't put your finger in the breeze and come up with that number. It's done via highly paid accountants, I believe, is it? That formula.
what it is we use our convention delegate study. So it's actual people on the ground that we've interviewed to find out what they are spending.
Right.
And then we have a multiplier that the state provides us. And that's how we come up with the number. Obviously, it's by the number of guests or delegates that they're here. So to be honest with you, and it's a very outdated number we're using. So we're updating our convention delegate study this year. And I think you'll find there's been a significant difference since 2013. So it is an old number. And so there is some science behind it, absolutely.
Mm. Well, all the other states use a similar multiplier, I understand. So they're all, you'd be fighting each other if it wasn't right, wouldn't you? Anyway.
Yeah.
Now, Melbourne's clearly going well. I wonder, is the MICE industry, the business events sector that you head for Melbourne, is that affected by things that affect the leisure industry, or is it a little bit more shielded in that meetings are going to occur because there's a business reason for it or a business case for it, where we could easily put off a leisure visit somewhere?
Yeah, look, it's actually very resilient, and it is based on, and look, that's why it's actually quite valuable to a destination, because, they get, often education accreditation to it, particularly the medical industry. So they actually do have to often turn up at a conference if they want to continue to get their accreditation going forward. And so we find that, it's definitely in the schedule, unless there's something absolutely catastrophic, they will jump on a plane and travel. And I think the world has changed now. We're a bit more resilient to things like terrorism and to global incidents, where I think everybody's like, well, it could happen wherever I am. So it won't stop us from doing what it is we actually need to do. So for us, we're not finding any drop-off at all. We're finding that it's still very strong. And like I say, they're looking to the future. So whatever's happening today, they're not taking into contemplation the future. I think the only area that probably may get some change is the incentive market, where it is very short lead time, often coming out of Asia, and sometimes the geopolitical environment may impact that. But you kind of have an indication as to what's going on there, obviously, as the environment continues to change. But you can't necessarily plan for it. You just have to work with it.
What percentage of Melbourne's business is around this sort of corporate incentive, which is basically a reward for people's performance, isn't it, in corporates?
Yeah, for us, it's probably on the smaller side. It probably represents about 16% of our entire business, the corporate meetings and incentives. But for us, we're really strong on the international associations sector. So, and we've played to that for a long time. That's been part of our strategy going forward from probably since I've started. You know, realise your strengths, play to them, and that's where you'll get investment from the government. There's investment in the infrastructure. The industry sectors themselves invest in it. So for us, it's a win-win-win, if you like.
I suppose it would have been easy to come into Melbourne and say, wow, this ought to be a big incentive town because of all the major events we have. And a lot of incentive is built around attendance at a big global event, like a Formula One Grand Prix, a World Cup, a Melbourne Cup, a Grand Final. We've got so many of the tennis. We've got so many of these, but it isn't just a lay-down mazea that you're going to get delegates into an event like that under the incentive heading, is it?
No. And in fact, it's often quite the opposite. So those events always obviously need promotion and attendance. But when we're doing those big, you know, 6,000 person incentive groups, they won't come during that time because it's much more costly for them.
Yes.
And, you know, so what we are finding that they do is we can move them, and we have a calendar that we try and work towards to even out the impact of events for the year, and whether that's major events and whether it's business events. So we find a lot of ours come through winter, and we can actually manage that a lot better because we've got obviously more availability in the city. You know, we can provide better rates, the convention centre's more available. And if they're coming here for a conference, that's what they're doing. Mm. The incentive market's a little bit different. So what we do around those major events is we bring often their top premium award winners. So, you know, at Grand Prix 1 year, we had 70 of the top salespeople for Amway Taiwan, it was. And these guys are multimillionaires in their own right. So the program that we would put on for them would be something completely bespoke.
Right.
And we got them out to the Grand Prix, you know, we put them on the track. They got to meet a driver, they got jackets, they were helicoptered out to the Great Ocean Road. And they, you know, I think the spend for them was almost $1 million a person.
Wow.
So, you know, if I get 70 of them, then I'm coming in far better than 6,000 that are spending significantly less.
Yeah, sure.
So, yeah, it's a very different proposition for us, and so we approach it very differently, particularly around major events. We're really happy to carve off those really small, unique, high-end, high-yield visitors.
Right. Now, just going back to what is your major strength, the international associations, I gather we won a very large transport forum, and part of the reason for it was, in fact, money invested in developing more space at the Melbourne Convention and Exhibition Centre. Just explain that to me.
Well, the Global Transport Summit, which will be here in 2021, it's not necessarily by size the biggest event we've won, but it's actually probably one of the most strategic. You know, we always like, in per sector, there's often one key bid that you actually always want to have in your city, and they're like, you know, I would classify as the Olympics of their particular sector, and this one's one of them.
Right.
So we've been trying to get this to Australia for a number of years. And all the work that's being done here in the city across the transport, so all the railroad crossings, the tunnels, we were actually able to showcase that. And because that's a long-term project, much of that will be on show during their event. But, of course, with an event like that, they need massive event space because they bring in this exhibition that has trams, that has boring machines, that has all of that. So they need a space that will actually accommodate all of that across their week of their conference. So the expansion was really valuable in having that completed I think they saw it just before it was completed, but they've actually been out subsequently and have, you know, got to experience that on one level. They've got the biggest convention space in Australia that can accommodate not only their meetings and their plenary sessions, but the exhibition that they actually want to hold there too. So right. It was absolutely crucial that we got that right. And you know, that's there's a lot of things that need to come together to win a bid, and everybody thinks we just do hotels and the centre, and it's like, well, you know, all those inspections, they spent more time out looking at boring machines and tunnels and railroad crossings and with the ministers of, it was Jacinta Allen back then, and they thought we were the ants pants for the investment that we were making. So right. For us, it was a real asset for us to be able to deliver an event and showcase what it is we actually do.
Right. I just want to ask you a slightly controversial issue, but mm-hmm. not about the players involved. Melbourne touted its C2 event, which was something I know you had a personal interest in. We've spoken about it before. Now, it didn't get off the ground. Does that sort of suggest Melbourne's a bit conservative? Because this was an event where people were going to be hanging in cargo nets, having meetings off the, you know, 10 foot off the ground. Is Melbourne a bit conservative, or
no,
is it other issues?
No, other issues, to be honest with you, Graham. Like, we absolutely went out of our way to support that. We had the state government, we had the industry completely behind it. And our industry found it quite exciting because it was a really good challenge for them and felt that, you know, it was right up Melbourne's alley. But it was really on behalf of C2 about their management of it and their understanding of the marketplace here in Australia and in fact, I think, Asia Pacific.
Right.
So it was really very much on their part. You know, we were all very disappointed in it, the industry in particular, because we actually felt that we could have got it off the ground, and they were quite keen to work with them. But C2 obviously felt differently, so they packed up their bags and went home. Yeah.
I mean, it did come out of the Cirque du Soleil environment, so it had certain elements that maybe aren't native to this city but were native to Quebec.
That's right, yes. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. Well, I make no judgment on the parties involved in that. I just thought maybe it was just a bit too challenging, but you're saying no. Might you do something in a different vein but along those same lines at some point?
Oh, there is a smaller conference that has been locally grown and incubated. It's an innovation conference that will be held in, I think it's the end of March, early April this year. And that one's been bubbling along some time. It's just probably not on the scale of C2 that C2 was,
yep.
But it's actually more along the lines of the innovative, different approach, the kind of speakers that are being run. So, right. So I think we've got it there. I think we just have to have the appetite. You know, when you get a little bit burnt, you have to rethink twice about going back.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. But before that happens, of course, you've got your big event AIM, which is on next month here in Melbourne, and will bring people from around the globe to see what's happening in business events. How's that shaping up? There's a new management involved in the production of the show. Are you happy?
Oh, I can't tell you. I'm really excited about AIM this year, Graham. I think, you know, I think there's two aspects to this. So Talk To Media are managing the show for us, and they have absolutely, you know, got lots of credentials in the exhibition space. But I do like the fact that they're local Australian. That actually helps enormously to understand the industry here. But they've been on a journey with us for the last 12 to 18 months where they've really got underneath and try to understand the difference between an exhibition and the meetings and event industry. So the trade show floor, what they're doing on there is fantastic. They've really taken on board some of the changes that we wanted to make over time, which was introduce a really strong knowledge program. So they've actually done that. They've introduced networking at different kind of levels. But probably the most important thing is actually the quality buyers that they've actually bringing there. So, and I know all this because I actually just come out of a meeting that talked about this for the last 2 hours.
Oh, good.
So the hosted buyers, there's over 350 qualified, and 60% of them are new to AIM. So that's enormous.
Okay.
You know, AIM's been going a long time, as you know, and to get 60% who've never been is pretty extraordinary.
Yeah, it is unusual.
Yeah, so they've really spent a lot of time doing that. And then I guess for us as MCB, what we're doing, we've actually found a new platform to really showcase what we do from Melbourne. So we've got some really funky stuff going on our stand, and we believe we've taken it to a whole new level. So we're really drawing on the technology that's available and how we actually then communicate that to our potential, you know, clients, so our existing and our potential, and then how we actually showcase Melbourne on it on the show floor. So with it's like a breath of fresh air. It's really exciting. I can't even begin to tell you. You're coming down, I hope.
I'm looking forward to it, Karen, and I'll be there. No show without punch. All right, Karen Bollinger, thank you so much for your time, and good luck for 2019, although I don't think you're going to need it.
Karen Bollinger is CEO of the Melbourne Convention Bureau. And you're listening to the Travel Writers Show on JAIR 87.8 FM.